You're listening to Addicted on Charisma News. My guest today is Angel Colon, who most people know from his surviving the Pulse massacre. But he has a different story, another powerful story about overcoming addiction. He's going to share with us after this sponsor.
This episode of the Charisma News Addicted podcast is sponsored by Courage for Life Ministries, creator of the first audio Bible recorded entirely with female voices. With a vision for taking the gospel to at-risk women in prison or those addicted or abused, this is a free iPhone and Android app featuring the entire Bible read in the comforting voice of a woman. Download it today at your app store or visit us at courageforlife.org, where you can also download free Bible study resources and devotionals. Find out more about how you can help support this amazing vision by visiting us at courageforlife.org or calling 404-791-7091. You can also email us at contact@courageforlife.org.
All right. Welcome back. Welcome to the studio, Angel. How does it feel to be here?
Thank you, Jessen. And I always love being here. So it's good.
Because you're my best friend.
Oh, yes.
And I'm your best friend. Okay. So you're here today to talk about overcoming addiction.
Yes.
Can you tell me a little bit about your addiction, just in a nutshell, in a sentence, and then we'll dive in deep.
Yes. My addiction started actually a couple years after I left God's will. Mm. I was more into alcohol. And then when I had reconciled with God, I left his will again, and everything was worse from there. That's when I started going into ecstasy, which is now called Molly. Mm-hmm. I would take 2-3 pills, and every time I would go to festivals, I would end up going into the double digits into those pills.
Oh, wow.
Just trying to last long, trying to be as happy as I can be. Mm-hmm. Because without those pills, I was not happy. Mm. Those pills would turn my mood around. And that's when I became more addicted to it. Not knowing that I was addicted to it, but I was. Mm-hmm. At that moment, it was all fun. And I wanted more.
Mm-hmm.
I wanted more. And that's when I turned to cocaine.
Mm.
I turned to cocaine. I would never think that I was going to head that direction. But not only did I head that way because I wanted more, I started hearing voices every time I would go into a club, into a party, that would tell me, you do not belong here.
Mm. Like demonic voices or like
no,
the Holy Spirit?
Holy Spirit.
Ooh,
telling
okay.
me, you don't belong here. What are you doing here?
So you use the cocaine to get rid of the Holy Spirit.
Yes. Mm. I kept on hearing that voice that said, you do not belong in this place. I did not make you to be here.
Mm.
And that would be the moment where I would take a few more bumps. It would end up some nights snorting 10 lines at once.
Oh, wow.
Yes. And by the grace of God, I never had an overdose.
Amazing.
By the grace of God, he was there with me at all times.
Mm-hmm.
And throughout this whole time, I didn't think I was addicted. Mm-hmm. I didn't think that I was a drug addict. You know,
10 bumps of cocaine and you didn't think you were
an addict. I'm fine. I'm having fun. I'm up. I can drive so I can go to the next party.
Mm.
And I didn't think it was addiction because everyone was doing it around me.
Mm-hmm.
The moment that I started to realize that I was addicted was when I was now doing it all by myself.
Oh, okay.
In my own home. In my own workspace.
So it wasn't a social thing. It was,
yes.
This is for you and as an individual.
Now, instead of it being social, not a lot of my friends knew. But now I was doing this on my own.
Mm.
Now I was thinking about this voice outside of the social life. This voice that would tell me that I didn't belong there, that I wasn't that person. Now that voice was carrying into my regular life.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and these thoughts kept coming into my head until 2016, where I was like, I really am not this person.
Mm-hmm.
I need to change.
Now, let's back it up. Talk to me about your family history. Were you raised in church?
Yes, I was born and raised in God's will. I was that teen that was always on fire.
Mm-hmm.
I was that teen that was always running around, that was in leadership. Loved to worship God.
Absolutely.
I loved it. That was my heart. That was everything. But the battles started mentally, you know, ever since I was a child, having those same-sex attractions, you know, that is what made me battle.
Mm-hmm.
And until I reached 18, when my dad had cheated on my mom, that took a toll in my mm-hmm. life. And I changed to a whole different person. I changed into a rebel.
Mm-hmm.
You know, as a child, as a teen, I was very well behaved.
Mm-hmm.
I never fought, didn't do anything bad, had good grades until the moment that I reached 18 was when my rebel side came out.
And that's when you turned to alcohol?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes, I turned to alcohol. I turned against God. You know, I would tell God, you know, if my dad did this and he was a minister, he mm-hmm. was a man of God, then I can live the way that I want to live.
Mm-hmm.
And that gave me the excuse to do everything else that I started
wow.
doing. And that's when I turned into an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
Also not knowing, you know, that I was an alcoholic.
Mm-hmm.
I started realizing that now at home as well. Now I'm drinking to go to bed. Now I'm drinking in the morning. I'm doing everything based around being drunk.
And how old were you when you first started doing the ecstasy pills?
The ecstasy pills, I was 21.
Okay, so about 3 years of drinking before you transitioned into
yes.
using pills.
Yeah.
And then how soon before you started cocaine?
Cocaine was a couple years after the ecstasy.
Mm-hmm.
When I started realizing that, you know, everyone was doing it.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I could do it too. It's normal. It's normal. And let me tell you something, it's not normal.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it changes your whole personality.
Mm-hmm.
You know, I had phases where I was very angry,
mm-hmm.
where my friends would tell me, Angel, what is wrong with you? I would get my attacks. I would get violent.
Mm-hmm.
And that was not me.
Do you think there was also a spiritual warfare component behind that?
Oh, yes. Definitely, definitely. Because now I'm fighting because I know that I'm not that person.
Mm-hmm.
Now I'm pretending to be someone that I'm not. And
mm-hmm.
now I'm mixing it with all these, you know, I would drink at the same time. I would smoke weed mm-hmm. and I would do cocaine. And the mix of all that.
It is
together,
amazing that you were sitting here in front of me
yeah,
right now.
It was just crazy where I'm now becoming someone that I'm not.
Mm-hmm.
I'm trying to be the same way as others are when I'm not this person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not this person. And then, you know, I would get angry at myself because I would tell myself, Angel, what are you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What are you doing? You're pretending to be someone you're not.
Mm-hmm.
You're fighting everywhere, and I'm not a fighter. I don't
mm-hmm.
know how to fight, but I'm turning into this angry person where some people actually pulled away from me because of how angry I was,
mm-hmm.
because of the way that I spoke to them. And that was just, it was a very ugly side of me. And it's crazy because I don't tell a lot of people this. One night I got home
mm-hmm.
from a night going out, and I lived with two roommates, and I walked into the house. We had a good night. I was drunk. I did some cocaine, and I went to bed. I closed my door, and in the morning, I woke up, and I opened my eyes, and I have blood everywhere.
That's alarming.
I have blood everywhere, and I'm like, what the heck just happened?
Mm-hmm.
I look around my room, and everything is upside down. My room is messed up. There's blood everywhere. I'm like, what's going on? And I touch my face, and I have a huge gash in my chin
mm-hmm.
where you could see my bone. And I actually still have the scar in my chin. And I don't feel pain. It's all numb
mm-hmm.
by now. And I'm like, what just happened?
Mm-hmm.
What is this? I run out to my roommates, and they're like, what happened? Nobody heard anything.
You're just covered in blood.
I'm just covered
like,
in blood.
No
I have a gash. My room is completely upside down. And something that I didn't confess to my roommates at that moment was that I had a lot of nights where I had spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
I had a lot of nights where I fought with demons. I had a lot of nights where I, even being in the world,
mm-hmm.
I still went through spiritual warfare.
Mm-hmm.
That's how I knew that there was a purpose. There was something else for
mm-hmm.
me. You know, being in the world, I would wake up at nights where my bed was shaking.
Mm-hmm.
I would wake up at nights where I'm literally hearing demonic voices
mm-hmm.
and I'm fighting with them. And I'm even being in the world, I would rebuke them and I would pray and they would go away.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so
and part of that has to do with your upbringing. Your mother
yes.
is an incredible spiritual
my mom
warrior.
Is amazing.
And I know part of your testimony is that you never underestimate the power of a praying
yes.
mom.
So
yes. for parents listening right now, Angel is here to say that his mother's prayers are what kept him
yes.
alive through
she
this.
She never stopped. She never stopped. Even till this day, I live
mm-hmm.
with my mom. I can wake up at 4 in the morning and I hear her
mm-hmm.
praying, being a prayer warrior. And it's just amazing what we know what parents' prayers do. And just seeing that even being in the world, that God has something on me and I still have that authority, you know, to have spiritual warfare and tell them to leave in the name of Jesus. And they would leave. And after that whole situation, I'm like, okay, this is serious.
So was that, do you think that was a spiritual war encounter that you had that resulted in a physical
manifestation? Yeah, I believe so. I believe that it's just everything that happened that night, there's no other explanation. There's no explanation. And, you know, after that moment, yeah, I realized, okay, there's a serious problem here. And I know the enemy wants to take me out. He wants to take me out.
He's been trying so hard and he is not succeeding.
No. And he won't.
Amen.
And he won't succeed. You know, I have the Almighty on my side. And I know that, you know, after that moment in my head, everything already started changing.
About when was that? What was that time compared to the night that everything changed in June 2016?
That was about a year before.
Okay.
Yeah, that was about a year before, because that year was the year that I was really going crazy in my partying and my drug addiction. And yeah, there was about a year before.
And something that I have heard, but not really officially, but it's talked about, how prominent is drug use within the gay community?
It is very popular. It is very normal. You know, I remember when I first started doing cocaine, I didn't believe how many people did it. I didn't believe how easy it was to get it. Where at a point, I bought so much that I was like, okay, well, I'm going to sell some too. And it would go by so quick.
Wow.
You know, I was a type where I did drugs, but I didn't look like I did drugs. And that's very popular, you know, in the gay lifestyle. Like, you wouldn't think so many people that do drugs, they don't look like it. You know, because a lot of us were big on our look, on the way that we dressed and the way that we presented ourselves. So
yes, as we sit in the studio, Angel is dressed so nicely and I am wearing a giant blanket. So, okay, so talk to me about your breaking point. What made you decide to give up coke / what set you free?
You know, it all comes back to the night of June 12, 2016, where I was, you know,
which
that
happens
year,
to be 3 years ago from the day that we're recording
this. Today. And that year, I was already fed up with everything. You know, I was already praying to God, Lord, change me. Lord, change my life. I missed worshiping God.
I love how the Lord pursued you even in the midst of just rampant sin. That's something that always encourages me about your story. Because so many people think that their friends, their family, they're too far gone, that God's given up on them. And you're here to say in the middle of horrific drug addiction and a homosexual lifestyle, you could still hear the Holy Spirit talking to you while you were in clubs. I love it.
You can still hear him. You can still feel him. You know, I never stopped praying. Even living in that world, I still prayed to God. I still had somewhat of a connection with God because God knew my heart. He knew that I loved him. I loved him with everything that I have. You know, but being so consumed in that lifestyle and the drugs, there was just something pulling me back, you know, and that's when I would pray to God and I would tell him, Lord, I can't do it in my own will. I can't do it in my own will, please. And that's when, you know, I explained in my other stories as well, where I made that dangerous prayer and I told God, do whatever you have to do to me. And I don't care what it is for me to just stop this craziness in my life. You know, I miss you. I want to worship you again. I made a pact with God the moment that I left his will. And I told him, I promise you that I will never use my gift, my talent for the world. And I didn't. For 8 years, I didn't use my voice. For 8 years, I didn't sing it secular. For 8 years, I didn't make any music.
But you're so good.
And I missed it. And, you know, I promised God, I will only use this talent for you because you gave it to me. And I made that pact. I made that pact. So already in 2016, I was going crazy. I was going crazy. I still had my moments where I would put my worship music on. And I would still worship God, even being so lost. And, you know, after saying that prayer, I told him, do whatever you have to do to me. I want to worship you again. I don't care what happens to me. I don't care what I lose. I don't care who I lose. Do whatever you have to do to me.
Yes. And for listeners who are not familiar with the other portion of your testimony. Tell us what happened June 12th, 2016.
Yes, and June 12th came and my life changed completely. That prayer was answered. And the most horrific of my life came to happen that night, but also it was such a blessing in disguise for me. Mm-hmm. As crazy as it sounds, it was mm-hmm. a blessing in disguise for me. My life changed completely. You know, a shooter came into Polskie nightclub and started shooting. Mm-hmm. And in the instant that he started shooting, I was shot, and resulting in being shot multiple times, having a shattered femur. Mm-hmm. My wounds were ripped open from being dragged out over the glass. Mm-hmm. But what changed my life that night was, you know, speaking prophetically upon my life.
What were some of the things you began to prophesy?
Yeah, as I laid on the floor and I knew that he was going to shoot me again, I started telling the Lord, Lord, I am not leaving here dead tonight.
Amen.
Lord, you promised me that you had a purpose in my life. You promised me that I had a ministry. You promised me that I had something big. You promised my mother that the baby in her womb had a purpose in life, mm-hmm. and it hasn't been fulfilled yet. So, Lord, I know that I'm leaving here, this place, alive. Mm-hmm. And when I leave here alive, I'm going to worship you for the rest of my life. And that changed the atmosphere at that moment. I could feel spiritual warfare going on at that mm-hmm. moment. And, you know, I tell people, when you speak prophetically upon your life, it changes the atmosphere.
Amen.
A lot of times we forget that God has given you the authority to change the atmosphere.
Absolutely.
You can walk into a room and be like, I don't like how this feels. And you have the power to change that. Mm-hmm. You have the power to change that. You have the authority. God's giving you so much authority in our lives, especially in your, if you're in his will, where you can say a few words and that atmosphere just changes completely. And that's why I love to worship. You know, worshiping, I can be like, okay, guys, let's get it together and start worshiping. And just when you're worshiping directly to him, when you don't mm-hmm. care what's going on in the room, and it's just you and God in that connection with God, everything changes. Mm-hmm. Everything changes. And my life after that changed completely.
So how did you break the addiction at that point in time?
You know, so that night
itself, I guess, how did God help you break the addiction?
So that night itself, you know, I did a few bumps of coke being at the club. Mm-hmm. Not only was I doing coke, but I was doing, it's called poppers.
Okay.
It's a liquid that you don't sniff. You put mm-hmm. it close to your nose and you breathe in mm-hmm. and it gives you a sensation.
And that, it is my understanding that this is what is used so men can have intercourse with each other.
You can use that as well for okay. that, or you can just use it for the feeling.
Okay.
It gives you an intense feeling for 10 seconds where your body gets really hot. Mm-hmm. Your muscles are relaxed. Mm-hmm. Your heart starts beating fast, but it's a sensation that you feel very good. Mm-hmm. So if you're drinking and you're doing coke, it doubles that
okay.
sensation. So that was being passed around a lot that night. So I was, you know, I was drunk, but as well high mm-hmm. and coked out. And, you know, after going through that night, it all left.
Wow. So the Holy Spirit, cold turkey, set you free.
Cold turkey set me free.
You didn't go through any withdrawals or anything like
that? I didn't
go
through any withdrawals. And what helped me as well was I received a blood transfusion as well.
Oh, wow. I didn't think about the fact that a blood transfusion could help
everything
be restored in your body.
Yeah, because I lost so much blood.
Okay.
I lost so much blood. And I actually was talking to the paramedics and mm-hmm. they told me if they didn't put me in the ambulance within 5 minutes, because of losing blood, I would have mm-hmm. passed away right there. Mm-hmm. And I received blood transfusions. And I had crazy feelings those nights mm-hmm. at the hospital where late at night in the dark while everyone was sleeping, I had my moments with God mm-hmm. where I felt crazy because I was taking all these meds. Mm-hmm. Now I would have these crazy dreams. I would have these crazy feelings, hot, cold, where I told the Lord, Lord, just take it away. Mm-hmm. Take it all away.
Take your life away or take the pain away?
No, take the pain away. Take this feeling of addiction away. take the crazy feelings with all these drugs that now I have to take because of the pain. And
they say you were shot the equivalent of 6 times?
Yes, okay. Yes. Till this day, it's an approximate. It's not
just because they were looking at like the bullet fragments.
The bullet fragments, yes. And it was a couple days after everything happened where the nurse came in and told me you were approximately shot 6 times. But I did not know that I was free until probably a year after.
Okay.
Because now I was taking my meds. I was taking...
And you'd undergone a horrific injury. It wasn't a matter of you're recreationally using painkillers.
Yeah. I was going through 5 surgeries afterwards. And so now they needed to give me these meds. But I started to feel like I would feel like I was at the club. It's taking Percocets, Oxycodones. It was, now I felt like I was buzzed. Now I felt good. Now I would get on my phone and start texting everyone because I was alone, and I would just.
It wasn't just numbing the pain. It was now it the felt high
good.
Back.
Yeah. Okay. Now it felt good until a moment came where once again, I prayed to God and I was like, Lord, I cannot have this. I said, Lord, give me the strength to get over this pain without my pills. And I stopped.
Okay.
I stopped and I said, I'm not taking these pills anymore. I'm not going back to that way. I'm not going back to that lifestyle. Probably I'm not going back to the lifestyle, but now I'm getting addicted again to these drugs. And I said, Lord, no, I'm not having that. My life is yours completely. And I threw all those bottles away. I threw everything away. And God worked in such an amazing way in my life.
Amazing.
Where I can have pain, but that brings me back to feeling grateful that I'm here. I don't think about, oh my God, I need to take these pills. I need to take this pain away. No, actually feeling
the pain is a reminder of his goodness.
Feeling my scars is a reminder of his goodness.
Oh, wow.
It's a reminder of me being free. It's a reminder that I am walking in his will. And it's a reminder that he spared my life that night. You know, having a second chance in life, I think about Pulse every single day of my life. I wake up every morning and I see my scars, and it just gives me a chance to say thank you. Thank you, Lord, because not everyone has this chance. You know, and that just gives me the motivation to keep going. That gives me the motivation to live my life for him and to not waste his time that he saved me. You know, because there could have been others that would have given their whole lives and are not here today. So I want to give everything of me. You know, he's worthy of it all. He's worthy of all my praise. So everything I do till this day is for him and nobody else.
Now, Angel, we are almost out of time, but what words of encouragement would you like to share with our listeners?
Yes, if anyone is going through any type of addiction, if anyone is going through any type of temptation or struggle, take time for yourself. Don't rush the process. That is a mistake that a lot of people do. They want to rush the process. No, I tell people, enjoy your process of healing. Enjoy your process of being in the secret place with God, and most importantly, because during that process, you learn so much about yourself. During that process, you learn how strong you are. And going through that process brings you to a whole other level in God, brings you to a whole other level spiritually, where I can look at temptation, where I can look at every time I feel a need for a drug, I can look at it in front of the face and say, I don't want you, I want Jesus.
Amen.
You know, so be strong in that process, enjoy your process, and you will become someone that you never thought you were going to become. And it's an amazing feeling when you wake up in the morning and know that you are good with God.
Angel, it's been a pleasure to have you here on our show today. Thank you for sharing your addiction recovery story with us. Listeners, for more about Angel, he has a Facebook page, Angel Cologne page, I think it is.
Yes.
And you can reach out to him there. You can also find more stories like this on cpnshows.com. And don't forget to rate and review us on iTunes so we can continue bringing you the good news. I'm Jesslyn, and I'll see you next time.
This has been a production of the Charisma Podcast Network. Steve and Joy Strang are the founders and owners of CPN. Dr. Steve Green is the executive producer of the Charisma Podcast Network. We intend to honor God with every podcast and remain thankful to our advertisers and supporters who make these podcasts possible.